FM.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. And turn them, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And I want to commence reading at verse 6. Romans, chapter 5. I want to commence reading at verse 6. And the word says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject this morning. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. If you really are grateful to God, would you turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I don't know about you, but I thank God for Jesus." Now give God some praise. The word says in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now, at this celebrative time of the year, when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, it is important and imperative to understand that his very birth was designed here on planet Earth so that he could be for mankind what mankind could not be for himself. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and simply see what it says about Jesus. It says, Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Paul picks up this word, and the Bible says in due time. But let me just give you the beginning of what Paul discussed with the Romans in the first verse of the fifth chapter when he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you were to go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you will see at the end of verse 6 that he is declared to be the Prince of Peace. And the only way that we can have peace with God is to go through the Prince of Peace, who stands in our stead and does for us before God what, again, we could not do for ourselves. And it is only through him interceding for us, being a mediator for us, being an advocate for us, that we have peace with God. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Listen, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we begin to understand all that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf to give us a full, rich, and overflowing life, not only in the spirit but in the natural realm, it behooves us to understand why it is so important to have not only a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many things that Jesus has already done for us that we will never discover until we get in the Word and become more intimate with him, so that the Holy Ghost can reveal those things to us, because Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. There are some things the Lord is doing for you. Some of you may not even be aware of it yet. But one of the things that you need to understand is that salvation gives you a brand new opportunity to come into the presence of God and access the benefits of God by way of God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Look again at what you want to see. He says, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength. Now listen to this. This is necessary for us to understand God's position and love toward us when we were yet unlovable, when we were not right. See, some of us think we're right now, but that was a day and time, and even today and time, God knows that without Jesus, all of our righteousness in his sight is as filthy rags. But he's talking about this strength that is necessary to be in the presence of God, this righteousness, this right walk, this right talk, this ability to be in the reconciled state with God. And so before we were there, notice the Bible says in due time. One translation says in the fullness of time. There is another translation that says in the nick of time. Another says just in time. Listen, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, let me throw out parenthetically right here, you have no need to thank God for Jesus if you were never, ever ungodly. Only the ungodly who were saved by Jesus have a need and a right and a responsibility to tell God, thank you for Jesus. Why? Because of this reality. If it had no desire to look upon us, to fellowship with us, or even be in relationship with us, and it isn't because of anything that we think that we could have done to have changed God's mind, so Jesus was the only payment that God would accept to bring us into a right place, because it is Jesus's blood that covers all of our filth and all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. And the only reason why he can look at us is because he's looking at us through Jesus' blood, and his blood washes away and deals with all of the issues that Jesus, or rather that God had with us before Jesus Christ. Look again, because all of the Christmas story gives and lends to us the understanding that God gave this world, according to John chapter 3 verse 16, a gift so great, for it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't understand what God has done for you, maybe if you just take a moment and understand that the gift he gave at Christmas was a gift that keeps on giving all of your life long. And I would be remiss if I said all of your life long on planet Earth, but in Jesus Christ, all of your life eternally long. This Jesus keeps on giving and doing for us again what we could not, and many of us even would not do for ourselves. And so when we celebrate Christmas, it is always just the beginning of the manifestation of the eternal totality of what God intended for man by way of Jesus Christ to be in the relationship that he himself desired for his chief creation. Look again, because I want you to see some things unfold in the text. The Bible says again, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And it changes and says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Now one of the things that Paul is making clear here that I think is important for us to grasp, that in the fullness of time, at the proper time, Jesus had been prophesied his coming, the Christ, the anointed one, Emmanuel, God with us, and so on and so forth. All of this was about Jesus. But it was about Jesus doing something for those who would accept him that none other could do to please God. Now here's what's important. When he died for the sinner, and that's who he died for, incidentally, he didn't die for the righteous. He died for the unrighteous. So whenever you start feeling holier than thou and super righteous and so forth and so on, I got news for you. Jesus didn't do nothing for you. It's for all of us who missed it, fell short, fell down, and with him got back up again that we shout the glory to God. But when he died for us in due time, at the proper time in the history that God himself had orchestrated, it was so that he could give not only restoration to the Jews, but to give opportunity to the rest of the world to accept Jesus as their Savior and the only way back to God. Now listen to this. He says something that's important. He says, literally, it's difficult for men to die one for another. History has given us record of great men dying for a friend or dying for a loved one. But it totally goes against the nature of man to volunteer to die for his enemy. Y'all not getting this. You'll die for a loved one, some of you, if you love that deeply. You'll die for someone who's right and you're standing in their place and think that they need another shot at life, so you'll take their place. But how many of you who know your enemy's on death row and you say, listen, I'm going to take my enemy's place if the law would allow you to do that? It goes totally against the nature of humankind to do something in that regard. And you're going to see from the text that while we were enemies with God, God sent his only begotten Son to stand in his enemy's place and take a penalty and a punishment that was meant for the enemy. And incidentally, if you're thinking Satan is the enemy, I got news for you. That's not the enemy he's talking about. All of us who were in, well, let me read the text to help you understand. He's talking about you and me. Notice this again, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love. God set this thing in motion. God, I told you already, John 3:16 said he loved us so much that he gave the best that heaven had to offer and his only begotten. And notice this, while he did that, his son did something else. His son gave his life for us. Now notice what the verse says in 9, much more than being now justified by what? You see, he could have given his son, but if his son didn't give his blood, his life, all of our salvation would not be salvation. Because it was the blood that brought man into an atonement. It brought blood. It took blood in order for us to be atoned and brought into a right relationship with God. So don't just think that just because Jesus came that it fulfilled all of the law and the work and that was necessary to redeem mankind. No, Jesus had a choice. That's why when he was in the garden and getting ready to deal with what he knew was going to be the end of his life, he said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, why did he say that? Because the flesh of Jesus, the human side of Jesus, understood that he was going to have to substitute his life in place for each of our lives, which meant that he couldn't stay where he was and how he was and then get in the position for us without having died for us and being given for us and his blood being taken to cleanse us, because it was the blood that God was looking for the atonement. Now listen at this. He didn't die accidentally. He knew he was getting ready to die. But he had to pray to remain faithful to the fact that God commended his love toward us. And he said, "I do not the will of my Father, of my own, but of my Father." So it was his Father's will that he would stand in the place. And I don't care how super spiritual you are, you have got to pray to stay in the will of God. Flesh rises up and flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to. Flesh don't want no pain. Flesh don't want to make no sacrifices. Flesh don't want to move beyond the realm of comfort. Flesh doesn't want to have to sacrifice. And so that's why you have to pray to maintain the will of God in your life and be in a position where you're willing to sacrifice in order to stay where God wants you to stay. Otherwise, the flesh will never let you go in a spiritual realm of its own. The flesh and the spirit warred. The spirit won out to the flesh. And I've got a helpful holy hint to you. If your flesh is beating you right now, try the spirit. Because the spirit will energize you. It'll empower you. It'll help you to do what the flesh doesn't want to do. It'll make you love those who hate you. It'll make you do right to those who do you wrong. It'll make you, y'all not hearing me here. If you just yield yourself to the will of God. Jesus did that, and thus he was able to commend himself to the cross because of the love God commended to us while we were yet doing wrong. Now, that's one thing when you try to get it right. It's another thing when you're still doing it. And while you're still doing it, he says, "I still love you." Aren't you glad his love isn't fickle like our love? Aren't you glad he doesn't just love us when we do right or get it right? Aren't you glad he doesn't just love us when we obey him? Aren't you glad he just doesn't love us when we're in his will? Aren't you glad he loves us unconditionally, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year? Don't you thank God for Jesus and that kind of love? Look at what the text says. It says, again, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were," listen, "enemies," we were not Satan, we were, because we were on Satan's side. "We were reconciled to God by the death and the shedding of the blood of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now listen at this. I like this because it talks about, in both cases, much more. And much more would just run right by you. You wouldn't even pick that up unless you understood what much more he was talking about. You see, some of y'all are shouting on level one. And he's got 100+ more levels that you hadn't even seen yet. And if you think this is good, come on up a little higher. And one good thing I need to tell you is as you come up higher in the faith, he allows you to see more things on higher levels that you can't see as well on lower levels. Have you ever been in a building that allowed you to see a panoramic view? Some of you have never seen what a good backdrop is like, what a good skyline is like, because you've never looked high enough or from a high enough or a lofty position to see that the higher up you are, the further out you see. And a whole lot of us can't see further up because our faith won't allow us to come up to the point where we can see what God has for us. Let me tell you, what you think life is good about, you haven't seen good life until you've seen it on a higher level in Christ Jesus. And listen at this. If what he's done for us in his death you get excited about, I'm here to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet until you've seen what he can do by his life. He ever living to make intercession for us. What does that mean? If you get excited because he died for you, you ought to be more excited because he rose and he lives and he's still doing some stuff on your behalf that you don't even have no knowledge of. While you're trying to figure it out, if you could just see him up there right now, he's already worked it out. Some of y'all sitting there unexcited because you can't see you. You can't see what I'm trying to help you see. Listen at the text. Listen at the text. Look. It says this, because I want to get to this last part here because I'm going to close here. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God. And you know, you got a whole lot of folk who joy, but their joy ain't always in God. And therefore, their joy is short-lived. And there are some things about the joy of the Lord. Oh, somebody knows something about strength that comes from that. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you've got God's joy on the inside of you, then you have a joy that is not controlled by external circumstances. In other words, it don't matter what's going on the outside of me, as long as I've got him on the inside, I've got joy. And you can shout joy in the midst of your troubles. You can shout joy in the midst of your sorrow. You can shout joy in the midst of your storm. See, when you got joy on the inside, it's something that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. When you've got joy of the Lord on the inside of you, just because you're going through, you don't become discouraged, depressed. You don't look down and look out. You start saying, Lord, thank you for the joy of the Lord on the inside. Listen at this, because I want you to see something. Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the only joy we're going to get that's going to last, that's going to mean something, that's going to do something, that's going to fill us, that's going to cause us to overflow, is going to be the joy that comes from the Lord. Understand this. If this joy comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, then it will explain why some folk don't shout on Sunday nor any other day of the week. Why they can't shout in God's house nor in their house. I'm here to tell you, if you've got the joy that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll make you shout when you don't feel like shouting. He can change literally your attitude. He can change your mindset. He can change your condition, your circumstances. He can change everything concerning you when you know who you are and whose you are. Look at the text again. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I got to tell you this again. There are some things that God's got for us that we can't understand it unless we go through Jesus. See, it's a two-way situation. There are some things that God has for us that we can't get except we go through Jesus. But there are some things that, again, we need from the Lord that we can't access from the Lord unless we go through Jesus to get it. And the joy, and I can't emphasize it enough, because in the book of John, Jesus talks about the fact that he wants you to have joy and that your joy be full and that your joy remains. Now, the first thing he says is he wants you to have some joy. Because if you ain't got no joy, it's indicative of the fact that you ain't got no Jesus. Because when you look at the word joy, you're going to understand in Scripture it is connected ultimately and totally with Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there is joy. Now notice here, because when you look at the primitive etymological root meaning of joy, it is also connected with the word rejoice or rejoice. Now you never could rejoice until you first had some joy. And you hear that the writer talks about, Paul, if we're going to rejoice, we're going to have to do it if it's connected with Christ forevermore. Because no matter what's going on in your life, around your life, with your life, and through your life, if you're connected with God through Jesus Christ, you can always reach back in your spirit, man, and rejoice again, even though you're going through some of the worst times of your life. How does this bless the saint? This is what makes us so peculiar and so unusual and so different. When the world think we ought to be through, when the world count us out, when the world say we won't make it, we've got something on the inside of us that we can reach back and reset so that we can rejoice evermore. Oh, you ought to thank God for Jesus, because there are some things Jesus is working out on your behalf you don't even know he's doing for you yet. There are some doors right now you haven't even gotten to that the Lord is taking his key and setting it in an open. Y'all not hearing me. There are some enemies that have set plots and plans for you that are trying to take you out, but he's already gone ahead of you and dealt with. There are some, y'all not hearing me here, some pitfalls that they've already dug for you, but he's going to lead you around and let them fall in it. Oh, there are some blessings that he's already ordered his angels to deliver. So just in time, when you need him the most, he's going to show up and then show out. Oh, you ought to know him for yourself. Listen at this. Listen, and I'm closing. There is an important point. You got to hear. By whom we have now received the atonement. Now this word atonement does not really give vent to the proper understanding of the word that it is translated into, and that word is reconciliation. You see, the effects of the atonement come through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the effects of the atonement is to reconcile us back with God. And if we are reconciled back with God, now get ready to shout now. That means that we're in right relationship with him. And if we are in right relationship, well, let me give you some scripture. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk up rightly before. Listen, if it's worth anything and you're in right relationship with God, he gonna just give it to you. He's not gonna withhold anything from you. And I got news for you. If he holds what you've asked him for back from you, that's because he has the right to give you something better than you asked for. Oh, you ain't hearing me here. And so if you pray to say, Lord, I want this, and the Lord hadn't given you that, don't get discouraged, because Jesus has reconciled you. With his blood, he's paid for your sin. He's paid for your shortcomings. He's paid for your faults. He's paid for your problems. He's paid for your pain.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.